One of the underlying questions in most debates these days on guns or gun laws is how we can prevent violence in schools and keep students safe. A professor at the University of New Hampshire who studies school violence says teaching our students civility and empathy can help make schools safer for kids. Malcolm Smith is extension professor at the UNH Department of Education. He worked with lawmakers in 2011 to develop the state's law on school safety and bullying prevention. He's also the founder of the Courage to Care program, a curriculum aimed at increasing empathy and civility in middle school students. Recently, UNH's teaching program began a course in Courage to Care training. Malcolm Smith joins me now with more on the course and on the program as a whole. Welcome back to All Things Considered.
Thank you.
Well, give us a couple of examples of techniques that students or teachers might be able to use to try to deal with some of these issues around bullying or a classroom culture that isn't productive or that kids are feeling worrisome about.
Sure. One of them is just a simple understanding of power and how power can be used for harm or good. And what I'm talking about here is social power. So a lot of bullying happens, we know, and the research is very clear, because kids abuse their power. So in other words, I think I'm better than you because I'm richer than you, or I'm whiter than you, or I'm stronger than you, or I'm older than you. So one of the things we notice is that students don't always understand that you can have power over somebody just by the way you act, the clothes that you wear, the way that you form a group. I'll give you another example. The research shows us that one of the things this generation is losing, and I think it's a skill that we need, is the ability to read body language. You know, we all give off a number of messages every minute to each other about how we're doing, how we're feeling, and how we're perceiving other people. Well, if you spend, as this group has, an inordinate amount of time either online or interacting with television, you're not learning the subtleties of body language and that sort of unspoken language that is a really important part of human culture. And so we teach a lesson to the kids, and they love it, on cuefulness. How do I better understand the cues that other people are giving me? How do I know when somebody's having a bad day? What can I do? We measure three types of empathy. One is a sort of a primitive empathy that says when you see a scene, it causes fundamental changes in your brain. When you see a scene that doesn't appear right to you or something that calls for intervention. The second level of empathy is what we call affective empathy, and that's the ability to see that scene and think, man, somebody ought to do something. The third is cognitive empathy, which says, I could do something, and here's a plan. Overall empathy, then, is putting all three of those together and being able to act. And when you do, an interesting thing happens. The culture of the classroom, the culture of the school, and how students and teachers interact begin to change, and that's the phase of the study that we're in right now.
That idea of the classroom dynamic is so essential to what goes on. And I wanted to ask about the dynamic between students who can now interact virtually as well as physically.
It's created a huge mess, because if you're not fundamentally grounded before you go online in skills of civility, kindness, generosity, caring for other people, you can easily abuse the anonymity provided by the internet, in other words, not having to see that person face to face. And the problem with it, and this is what has made the bullying and meanness that we have now so much worse than what any other generation has had to deal with, is it happens 24/7. There used to be a domicile, a home, somewhere you could run and have protection from the bully. But now this bully can follow our kids, and they do, because one thing we know about bullies is they're persistent. That was an interesting change in the New Hampshire law. We realized that when we wrote the law, and we've given schools, if a child comes to school and says, listen, something happened on FormSpring or on Facebook or one of the hundreds of new social media sites that are popping up every day last night, and it scared me so badly that I can't come to class today, all of a sudden you have an issue that interferes with a child's right to an education, and thus the school is empowered and expected to investigate. And so I think that the best way to combat this is what we as educators do well. And that's why we want our future teachers at UNH to have some tricks and tools. We reteach our teachers that when you're teaching things like caring about others, when you're teaching about imbalance of power, when you're teaching how to have courage in the cyber village and some of the other lessons that we teach in the Courage to Care, when you teach these, you have to change their teaching approach, you know, because if you lecture, like one great educator, Kurt Hahn, said, you know, if you tell kids you should act good because you're supposed to, he said, that's a hook without a sinker. And if you tell kids, well, you should act good because I said so, you know, he said, that's of the devil. But Dr. Hahn, who founded one of the largest educational programs in the world called Outward Bound, said, if you tell a child they're needed, that never fails. And I think that's sort of the principles upon which we base the Courage to Care. And so we have to teach teachers that student discovery, that when they come to the conclusion that caring for others is useful, and not only useful, but can make their life richer and better, they grab it and run with it.
Well, Malcolm Smith, great to talk with you again.
Thank you, Brady. It's always an honor.